We'll talk about vitamins and nutritional supplements. We'll talk about sleeping pills, although, again, whether that's maintenance or not is a discussion. And I'm probably going to throw in Lactaid also as part of the conversation. All of these things lend themselves to discussion together. Okay? Got it? We're not doing all of this today. Today, we're going to do exercise, and then probably next time will be exercise and physical therapy and a quiz. That will be my guess. Okay, so for all of you who weren't planning on being sick on Wednesday, if you want to avoid the quiz, you have to change your plans. Okay. Starting point. Chazal were very aware of exercise as something that's good for your health, even if their mechanics of why it's good don't match our understanding of biology. So they believed in exercise without necessarily doing it for the way we do it. So, for example, people today do strength training. One of the reasons they do strength training is the idea that when you lift something heavy, you exert a muscle in this serious way, you create micro tears in the muscle, and then when it heals itself, part of that healing will actually generate a stronger muscle. That's not on their radar screen. That's not part of why they're talking about doing anything like that. Chazal were much more into digestion as a key point of one's health. They were much more into body temperature and warming the body as something that would be very healthy. And those are elements that contribute to their support for exercise. So as an example of that, if you take a look at the first source on the sheet, the Gemara in Brachos, Harotze likanes lesudas keva. Somebody wants to go into a set meal. And when we say a set meal, we mean a big meal, not just like snacking. You're going to have a real meal. So mahalech asara pa'amim arba amos. You should first walk 10 times, 4 cubits each, meaning like back and forth type of a thing. 4 cubits is not a long distance. You're talking 7 feet, give or take. But do that 10 times. Arba pa'amim eser amos. Or walk 10 cubits 4 times. V'yifne, use the washroom. And then v'yachkach nichnas. Then go into your meal. So you're doing some kind of little bit of exertion that's supposed to be good to help clear the body. That's basically what it's about. You also have source number 2, which talks about walking after you eat. Gemara in Shabbos, Acha v'lo halach arba amos achilaso markeves. If a person eats and doesn't go for a walk afterwards, at least a 4-amo walk, your food is going to rot in you. Walking after eating is good for your digestion. Note, I am not making these as medical statements, okay? Ask your doctor about this. But this is the way the Gemara looks at digestion and the importance of exercise as it relates to digestion. The Rambam is very, very big on digestion. A lot of his medicine centers on it. Yes,
Ellen. Was this brought down in halakha at all?
So, sort of. It's a good question. The Rambam in Mishneh Torah talks about the importance of preserving your health, and even though it is a work of halacha, he includes some medical advice regarding preserving your health, including regarding eating. He does not include every statement in the Gemara about eating. So there are some things that the Gemara says, yeah, that's dangerous to eat, and the Rambam omits it. I think most famously is fish and meat. The Rambam omits the idea that eating fish and meat together could be bad for you. So that leads to the question, is the Rambam omitting it because he believes this isn't a health hazard? Or is he omitting it because he's not going to bring you every statement from the Gemara on health? There's a lot in the Gemara that relates to it. So he brought certain things that he felt you really needed to know, you wouldn't be aware of, were common risks, whatever reason. And the rest of it is also important. That's one debate. The other debate is, even if the Rambam felt it wasn't hazardous, does that mean it's really not hazardous? Yeah, so there are those who say, no, the Rambam didn't think that the fish and meat thing was an issue. However, nonetheless, we still should avoid it. So the question of is it halacha is not so clear-cut. So but that's in terms of digestion. And then second, by the way, the Rambam also wrote medical works separate from his halachic works where he goes into these things at much greater depth. Some of them are available in English translation. So he does a lot more, both in breadth and depth, on health practices. They also felt that physical exercise is good for warming up the body, which would be good for a person. So I brought you one example of it, the Gemara in Gittin. Rabbi Yosef i'asek berechaya. Rabbi Yosef used to exert himself with a mill. You know, the way that they... milled things was they had two stones, a lower stone and an upper stone. They were both round. They were discs, one on top of the other. And you'd have a channel through which you would put the grain into the space between the two stones, and then you would turn the upper stone. So you basically harness yourself to the upper stone, and then you walk around in a circle, and that moves the upper stone. If you've ever been to some of the digs they've done in Israel, you've seen this. So the lower stone was immobile. It was a heavier stone, and then the upper stone is the one that moves. Sometimes it wasn't a person doing it. You'd have an animal actually be the one to walk around, turning it. But the Gemara here says that Rabbi Yosef would actually harness himself to the mill in order to pull it, in order to exercise. Rav Sheshes, Iasik B'Kashuri. Rav Sheshes would carry boards from place to place. That was his way of doing it. Amar, and he said, Gedola malacha shememechamemes es ba'aleha. Malacha, this physical labor that they're doing, this is great, it warms up the person who does it. It's good for you to engage in physical labor. Parenthetically, anyone know what Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Sheshes had in common? It's very strange in light of this Gemara. They were both blind. Yeah. I don't know how that, you know, fits with Rabbi Sheshes carrying boards from place to place. Maybe it was before he went blind. But yes, both Rabbi Yosef and Rav Sheshes developed blindness. No word on whether that has to do with strenuous exercise, and therefore people should stay away from strenuous exercise. Okay. So Chazal were, like I said, aware that exercise can be good for a person. There's a lot more to be said about the risks they identified in exercise as well. So they talked about, for example, a person running, and running being bad for their vision. You ever hear this? The idea that taking large steps and exerting that way could be bad for a person's vision. I once heard someone suggest this has to do with concern for a detached retina. I thought that was a little bit of a leap. But yeah, there all sorts of different ideas that were related to exercise. But let's get to the Shabbos point. Doing exercise, whether we're talking about weightlifting, whether we're talking about running, doing that on Shabbos. Our default assumption with things is mutter until you show me why it shouldn't be mutter. So why shouldn't it be mutter? What could be wrong with doing this on Shabbos? Ricky?
It's work.
Work? When you say work, what does that mean? Because malacha isn't the same thing as work, right?
Yeah, but like one of the first sources we did was
there we go. Right, Ramban on the word Shabbaton, right? Saying that you should have a Shabbos atmosphere, right? And we said that, I think we said, the Chasam Sofer applied that, let's say, to riding a train, one of these multi-day train trips that they used to take. And he says, doing that on Shabbos, even if you're not violating Tchum and you never get off and so on, nonetheless, he said it's a violation of what Ramban says is a biblical principle of Shabbaton. That is one potential concern, correct? Ah, so that's a really good question. What if you actually enjoy this? Is it still a problem of violating Shabbaton? We're going to come back to that question. Good point. So we've got Reiki says Shabbaton, Tamima says maybe not. What else do we have? Ariana? You could start sweating, which you're not supposed to do on Shabbos. How do you know you're not supposed to sweat on Shabbos? What if I live in Arizona? Good. So we go back to the sources. We had talked about the concern of massaging somebody's, for a health purpose and potentially that being a problem. Now, we said, I just gave it away, we said you're doing it for health reasons. So in other words, it's a medical act. That would be a second concern. Is this considered to be like use of medicine? What would the argument against that be? You don't grind anything, right? These aren't things that you achieve by grinding ingredients. Now, we did say at the time, causing somebody to sweat can be something that we achieve by grinding ingredients, right? You remember? We said that that the massage case, we said, was a problem because that is achieved. On the other hand, if you're doing it in order to have, stronger muscles, To date, I don't think we've come up with, despite what they try to sell you on the internet, any sort of things that you can, you know, grind up and take as a powder, and that's going to give you, you can, you know, a protein powder to give you materials, but it's not going to actually replace exercise at this stage of human technology. Okay, so we have two concerns now. We have the concern about Shabbaton. We have the concern about medicine. What else? There's a third item which I don't think we've discussed at all, so I don't really expect people to get it. And then there's a fourth one, which we haven't really discussed, but I feel like some of you sort of said it. So I'm going to stop with the two that we've got. Yeah, Naomi. You mean like physical effort or general effort? So I'm not sure it's a reason behind the malachos. What I think you're talking about is more or less within that Shabbaton framework, where we say that, and this was the Rambam's description, that one of the reasons for the Derabbanans is to keep Shabbos as Shabbos, because otherwise people could move furniture around and do all this stuff without having actually violated any malacha. Is that what you're thinking of? Because if you are, then it's correct. It's not quite the same thing as Ramban, because Ramban says it's a Deoraisa, and the Rambam is saying that it's a Derabbanan. But yeah.
Assuming it's like wrong, maybe it's like
Maris. Assuming it's wrong to do, then it's Maris Ayin. Well, that wouldn't be unique to, you're right, but it would be worse than Maris Ayin, because it actually is an Isser. In other words, the problem of Maris Ayin is doing things that are allowed that look like they're not allowed. Right? Here, I'm actually doing something that's not allowed. I'm in hotter water than Maris Ayin. You follow? Okay. So let's see what we have in the sources. The first issue is the Gzeira for medicine, right? Is this a problem? And the answer I would give is not necessarily, because again, you can't achieve these results with grindable medication. So that's less of a concern, likely. We're going to bring it back a little bit later, but that's less of a concern. The second consideration is the Shabbaton discussion, which Ricky mentioned, and I brought it on the sheet again for you in source number 4, because it's been a while since we've seen it. He quotes you the Medrash in the Mechilta, on Sefer Shmos. U'mechilta ra'isim parshas ha'chodesh. U'shmartem es hayom hazeh. The Torah says, you shall guard this day, regarding Pesach. V'lama ne'amar. Why does the Torah say you shall guard this day? What does that mean, guard this day? The Torah already said not to do malacha. So what does it mean to guard it besides not doing malacha? The answer is that only prohibits things that are malachos, the 39 malachos. Devarim shein mishum shavus minayin. How do I know for things that are what we call a shavut? It's simply a matter of halting, which we usually associate with rabbinic prohibitions on Shabbos. Talmud Lomar, Ushmartem es hayom hazeh. That's why the Torah says, guard this day, lavid dvarim shein mishum shavus, to include that which is prohibited because of shavus. That's the opening of this Ramban. It's just a medrash that he's quoting. He's quoting this Mechilta. Ella and then Julie.
Just in general question, is shavus only rabbinic laws that have to do with protecting the atmosphere?
As opposed to? Well, the Xeros tend to be to protect the atmosphere.
The Xero for an envelope, but it's not really about the atmosphere, it's more about...
Oh, that's what you're suggesting. No, I think we use Shavuos to refer to the Rabbanans that are added on to the Malachos to keep you from violating the Xero also, to be, keep you from violating the Derais also. I think
so
we tend to use
Shavuos.
So I'm going to say that and potentially disagree with myself at some other point.
Okay.
I haven't thought it through in terms of whether it's really everything, what I call Muktzah Shavuos per se. They wouldn't actually use that term. I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't see a practical difference, because when we say something like Shavuos to Shavuos b'makom mitzvah, we apply it to all the derabbanans.
Right, but here it sounds like it's like more the atmosphere.
Maybe, I hear that, Julie.
Can you really explain like the conclusion of that? I didn't really understand.
Yeah, what Ramban is saying is, I mean, it's not really Ramban; it's this Mechilta. he's just quoting it, is saying that the Torah says not to do any malacha, and then separately it says to guard the day. How do I understand that? Why do I have a second pasuk? So the answer is that the second pasuk is saying not just don't do malacha, but there's something else also, which is this shavus, things that we've said you shouldn't do as a matter of, you know, call it preserving Shabbos, which again are the derabbanans, but now the Ramban is going to qualify that. So you really need to see the next piece in the Ramban, and that will that I think will clarify it further. Yes, Bailey.
Could you just reiterate the question that the Ramban is answering?
Well, again, it's the Mechilta that's answering it. I want to make it very clear. This is the Mechilta that's answering it. It's this Medrash. And the question that is answering is, I have one pasuk that says, don't do malacha on that day. And then I have another pasuk that says, guard the day. That must mean more than just don't do malacha, because you already told me not to do malacha. You follow?
Yeah.
Okay. So Ramban says on this, it's the third line in the Hebrew, it's the second paragraph in the English, V'hine yidrashu shabbaton lishbos bo legamri. They understand from the word shabbaton, which we apply here, to halt entirely. Afilu midvarm she'enon me'avos malachos v'toldos ehen. Even from that which is not a malacha, it's not one of the 39, it's not one of the toldos of the 39, Avolonis barer lizeb, but Ramban has a problem. He says, this is not clear to me. Shim tomar shehu asmachta, if you're telling me that this is an asmachta, meaning these rabbinic prohibitions are just rabbinic, they're not really from biblical text, that this pasuk, when it says Shabbaton, is just something we link them to. Matam Shiyomru Balashon Hazed, then why did they say it this way, where it sounds like in the Medrash, they're actually drawing it from the pasuk? Ramban's problem is, how can you say that rabbinic prohibitions protecting Shabbos are rabbinic if I have a Medrash that's drawing it from a pasuk? That's what's bothering Ramban in a nutshell. So he says that doesn't work. Kishvus b'lashonam ne'amar la'olam al shel divrayim, because when Chazal used the word shvus, it's always about something that's a derabbanan. The rabbis came along and made the decree. V'ha'ech yitachin lomar dvarm shein asurin mishum shvus shel divrayhen minayin sheyu asurin min hakasuv. He says, how could it be that which is usher because of a derabbanan, you're going to tell me is usher from the text because of this pasuk? He says it doesn't make sense. Either it's a derabbanan, in which case it's not from a pasuk, or it's a deraisa, which case it is from a pasuk. You can't have a derabbanan that has a pasuk to support it. So he explains, v'nir alisha medrash hazel lomar shenitztavinu min ha-torah liyos lanu menucha b'yom tov afilu midvarm she'enon malacha. He says, the point of the Medrash is to say that the Torah says that we have to halt on Yom Tov. Remember, in context, he's talking about Pesach. Even from things that are not Malacha. The Torah is saying, Malacha is not the sum of all things that you have to avoid. Lo she yitrach kol hayom limdod hatavuos v'lishkol haperos v'amatanos u'lumale chavios yayin. He says, you're not allowed to spend all day on Yom Tov taking care of all your stuff, measuring things, weighing things, filling up your barrels with wine, lefanos hakelim, moving your vessels, vegama avanim, or moving stones, mibayis lebayis, mimakom lemakom, from house to house, from place to place, v'maisa ha'ir mu'ir mukefas choma udlasas ne'ulos balayla. And in the event that the city is surrounded by a wall and the gates are closed at night, and therefore it's not a rishus harabim, it's not a true public domain, you omsim ala chamorim, they could load stuff on their donkeys, v'af yayin v'anavim uta'inim, and wine and grapes and figs, v'chom masa, and all their stuff, all their burdens, yaviyu b'yom tov, they'll bring it on Yom Tov, v'yashuk malay l'chom mekach u'memkar, and the marketplace would be open for business. In other words, if all you're keeping on Shabbos are the deoraisas, it's not, or Yom Tov in his case, it's not going to look like Yom Tov. Because the prohibition against business on Yom Tov is a derabbanan, lest you end up writing. The issue of handling your animals, muktzah stuff, that's all a derabbanan. He says, "V'tia achanus psucha." The store will be open. V'achen v'ni makif, and the store owner will just have a running tab. V'ashulchanim al shulchanam, v'hazehuvim lifneim, and all the money changers will be by their tables, and they'll have the gold coins in front of them. V'yiyu apolim mashkim in lamalachton, and the workers will get up early for their work. U'maskirin atzmam kechol ledvarim elu. They'll hire themselves out like it's a weekday for these things. And for similar things. V'hutru ha-yamim ha-tovim ha-elu, and these yamim tovim will become permitted. You can do whatever you wanted. V'afilu ha-shabbos atzma, even Shabbos itself, she-b'chol zeh ein b'hem mishum malacha, because you haven't violated any biblical malacha. L'kach amra Torah shabbason, therefore the Torah says shabbaton, to halt, shia yom shavisa u'menucha lo yom torach. It should be a day of halting. It should not be a day of strain. So what he's saying, I want to make sure that I say this clearly and preferably once, but I'll repeat as needed, is that there's a biblical mitzvah of Shabbaton, of halting, and along came the Rabbanan, and they prohibited specific actions in order to protect halting on Shabbos, in order to protect Shabbaton. That is the imperative that drives them. Clear? Somewhat clear? Ella and then Tova.
I'm confused how he transitions from the Chazon
Mishmar
to Shabbaton.
Yeah, I have to admit, I brought only, you see, I have an ellipsis between the first part and the second part. And I just cut and pasted my own thing from earlier in the semester, so I didn't go back to look at it. I'm not sure what the transition is from one to the other, how he ends up there. At the end of the day, his proof is from the fact that you have this word Shabbaton, which says you have to halt. And that means there's something more. But I think what he's doing, and I'd really have to go back into Ramban to see, but I think what he's doing is he's taking this word, Ushmartem es hayom hazeh, this pasuk, Ushmartem es hayom hazeh, and saying that teaches that you have to do something to guard it. You have to create these added rules in addition to the malachos. In other words, Shabbaton in and of itself just says, stop. It doesn't tell me how or anything. It just says, don't do work. It would be like one basic de'oraisa. Ushmartem is saying set up Shmira for the day by creating specific derabbanans.
So he's using a combination of both?
That's what I think, but I have to go back to Ramban himself in order to say that, you know, with any accuracy. I'm going to be giving you shortly a 2-minute break just to break things up a little bit, and maybe I'll take a look at Ramban while you have that break. Tova.
Are people not allowed to take creatine on Shabbos?
So the answer is going to come back to the discussion we're going to get to about nutritional supplements.
Does it depend on their workout split also?
Potentially. I mean, the question is, what are they taking the protein for, right? Creatine being, but what are they doing it for? Okay. Is it a replacement? Is it a supplement? You know, we have to talk about that. We'll talk about it. I mean, that's part of the conversation that we have to get to. Julie.
Yeah. So the Durabanans were created to protect, to
keep you from violating Shabbaton. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what Ramban brings as the issue of Shabbaton, and we're going to see a couple of applications of it, and then I'll give you a break just to breathe a little bit. But take a look at source number 5. This is a Tosefta. Ein rutzin b'Shabbos kedei lehit amel. You are not allowed to run on Shabbos in order to lehit amel, which I translated here as to strain himself. We're going to come back to that word later on. But no running. Avol metayel kedarko, but you could stroll in, the way people do. Veino choshesh, without concern. Vafilu kolayam kulo, even all day long, you could walk around. It's just, we don't want you running, says this Tosefta. Yes, Julie.
What if you're like, wait till like minyan, and
you
can like run to shul?
Yes. Yeah, he said specifically lehit amel, in order to strain. Yes. We're going to talk a lot about this. We're right now we're in the early stages. We're not in the application stage. We're just doing the background sources. Sorry. Got it. So we have more to talk about. Another source, the Yerushalmi, in source number 6, talks about a place called Tur Shimon, right? Mount Shimon. Lama Charev. Why was the community of Tur Shimon destroyed. Yesh omer b'pnei aznus. Some say because of sexual immorality. V'yesh omer shahayu misachkin b'kadur. And some say because they played ball.
Very different.
Did it say that? Did it say on Shabbos? No, it just said they played ball. So if you flip to the next source, source number 7, you find the same discussion in Echa Rabbah, I should say, the Medrash on Echa. Amar Rav Huna, Mishum Shahayu Misachkin Bekadur B'Shabbos. It wasn't ball playing, it was ball playing on Shabbos. Yes, those are two very different things. And there's what to discuss. I'm only bringing it here just to show you that you have sources that talk about concern related to ball playing running on Shabbos, even though it may technically be permissible. Take a look at source number 8, Rabbi Yechiel Michal Epstein in the Aruch HaShulchan. He actually has a couple of places where he makes this comment. We're going to see another one probably on Wednesday. But right now, this one, where he says, he's dealing here with issues of muktzah. So he says, "Hakadurim shemesachkim bahem," the balls that people play with, "heim muktzah." Those are muktzah. Sharei einam ruuyim latashmish, because they're not functional. You have nothing to do with them on Shabbos. Ve'av gam lachasos bahem kelim einam ruuyim, and don't tell me that you'll use it as like a bottle stopper or something. Because people use them and they get dirty, and you're not going to stick this on top of a bottle you drink out of. That's gross. And since the ball is muktzah, you won't be allowed to play with it on Shabbos. V'yesh omrim, some say, that since they are usable for playing, and he says, there you go, marathon runner. He says the games are not permitted, are permitted for people who enjoy them. So you're allowed then to handle a ball, and you'll be allowed to play with a ball on Shabbos. He says some permitted only on Yom Tov, not Shabbos, but they're not correct. And he says the minhag is to be lenient, that somebody who enjoys playing with a ball would be allowed to play with a ball. Don't take any of this as final halacha yet. Right now we're just seeing sources. I'm bringing you the Aruch HaShulchan to show you the development of this idea there, where he first says the ball is muktzah because it has no use on Shabbos. Then he says, yeah, but it actually does have a use, playing a game with it. And playing a game, he says, is allowed. And then he quotes the source that we just did. Amnam b'Yerushalmi Meseches Tanis. He quotes that Yerushalmi that we saw in source number 6, except that he's using the Medrash Eicha version of it that includes Shabbos. Dear Achas Charva Bishvil Shayu Misachkin Bakadur B'Shabbos. There was a city that was destroyed because of ball playing on Shabbos. V'cheinu B'Medrash Eicha, and he says it's also in Medrash Eicha on the Pasuk Bila Hashem V'lo Chamal from Eicha. So he ends up saying, you know, it could be allowed, but that doesn't mean you should do it. That's where he ends up for now in his comment. So we have two issues so far with exercising. One is this medicinal, which we said doesn't sound like it's an issue of being medicinal because you can't grind and get those results. And then the other concern that we mentioned is the Shabbaton discussion, which might have some leniencies for people who actually enjoy the game itself. Not people who enjoy getting sweaty, but the people who enjoy the game proper. So we're going to pause here, give people 2 minutes to breathe, and then we're going to... So we've now defined two reasons. Let's talk about a third reason, which we haven't discussed yet at all. And it's going to confuse you. But don't worry. Okay? I'm not saying that in any way to diminish in any way my estimate of people's intelligence. This is a very intelligent class. But just because this is a problematic point. There is a third issue here. It is a poorly defined category in halacha. It's called uvda d'chol, or uvdin d'chol. Okay? Uvda or uvdin. I'm not writing on the board because I'm on strike now that we don't have erasers. But I'm joking. The word uvda . This is how uvda is spelled. In Aramaic, ayin vav pei dalet aleph. Sometimes you see uvdin, which is just the plural. Okay, v'chol. An uvda. People often use the word uvda to mean a reality, but that's not what it means here. What it means is a weekday activity. That's what we're talking about. So, what exactly is this about? Take a look at source number 9. It's the Gemara in Shabbos, towards the end of the Masechta. They're talking about an issue of straining liquids on Shabbos, and as part of that, they discuss setting up a strainer. Because the way that they used to do it is not just like, okay, you went to some housewares type store and you got, you know, a fixed strainer, but you would have a cloth that you would extend over pegs of some kind, you know, supportive pegs, and then you would strain the liquids through it. You follow? So you don't want to make it very tight, obviously, or it won't strain very well because everything will just bounce off, but you make a little bit of an indentation, you pour stuff into it, and then it'll strain it. You have liquid with some kind of a sediment, you want to get the sediment out, that's what you would do. Yes, Julie?
I thought you can't do that on Shabbos.
Correct. So that's where we're that's what we're talking about. It is indeed a problem of Boer. But as part of the discussion, they talk about setting up the strainer in the first place, whether that's prohibited. The problem with doing so would be creating an ohel. You're creating a root structure in the sense that you set up this this cloth like that, right? Whatever's underneath it is now under a roof. That's the potential concern.
So
bona? Bona, correct. So the Gemara seems to imply such a problem, and Abaye challenges it in source number 9. Amar le Abaye, ela me'ata talakuza besichsa, hachinami demechayev. So he asks, if I were to suspend a kuza is a small vessel. If I were to suspend that on a peg, so I've now created a roofed structure over whatever's below it, am I really? Like, that's you know, biblically liable? The person is chayev? Ela amar Abaye. Abaye says no. He says the whole issue that was being discussed there with setting up a strainer on Shabbos was not actually about Bona. That wasn't the issue. Rather, the issue was Shelo Yase Kederach Shu Ose Bechol. It was a rabbinic decree. Don't do things the way that you do them during the week. This is not about the straining. Julie, I want to make sure this is clear. This is not about the straining. This is about setting up the cloth in a way that it could be used as a strainer, and you're not supposed to do things as you do them during the week. Rashi, I brought you there in source number 9, seeks to clarify what this means. He says, Midirabanan, ka'asri la chachamim demasnisin, the chachamim in the Mishnah that Abaye was commenting on, they prohibited this. Deloshav kinan leila mislie, we don't allow him to suspend this. Lameyavad uvda dechol, to do what one does during the week. The Rambam brings this as halacha in source number 10. He says, Afal pisha mutter l'sanein yayin salul. The Rambam says, you know, on Shabbos, if you have wine that is already clear and you just want to run it through the strainer, you know, maybe there's something microscopic in it, but this is fully drinkable wine. It's clear wine. There aren't pieces of sediment that are visible. If you decided you wanted to pour it through the strainer, you could do that. Omayim tzalulin, or clear water. You wanted to run that through bisudarin, through scarves, this kind of, you know, fabric. O bekvifa mitzris, or a basket. Lo yase guma bisudar, shalo yase kiderach shu ose b'chol. Even though we're going to allow you to pour it through a strainer, you are not performing boer by doing so. Nonetheless, we don't want you making an indentation in a scarf, a depression in it, a hole in it. You know, not a hole, but like I said, an indentation such that you could pour things in to strain them. We don't want you doing that. We don't want you doing as you do during the week. Because if we let you set it up, the result is going to be that you will end up using a strainer. which is biblically prohibited. V'chein asur lislos es hamishmeres kederach shu oseh b'chol, so too you're not allowed to suspend this strainer, to put it on the pegs, as you would during the week, shema yavo l'shamer, lest you come to strain. So what the Rambam is telling you, and it's really just what Rashi explained on the Gemara in source number 9, is on Shabbos, I am not allowed to perform activities the way I would during the week, if during the week they are the run-up to doing malacha, and therefore I might come to do the malacha on Shabbos. Honking did not get you there faster, dude. Sorry? You're not allowed to perform backup activities that lead up to malacha during the week. You're not allowed to perform those backup activities on Shabbos, lest you then end up doing the actual malacha that it leads to. In other words, you have a routine during the week, right? During the week, when you... I give you a case that's not about strainers, because again, you know, we're not used to setting up a strainer in this way. Let's say that... If I were a coffee drinker, then I would know how people, you know, what their routines are for making coffee. But I'm not, so I don't know. But I'm going to pretend that there's some kind of a routine that people have, where before they turn on the coffee maker, they first take the mug and they put it in this spot, and they add the coffee grounds, and then they go right into to using the coffee maker. So I would tell you, based on what the Rambam just said, you don't want to put your mug in that place on Shabbos, lest you end up just instinctively turning on the coffee maker. That's what it sounds like right now the Rambam is talking about under this category of Uvda Dechol. Clear? Yeah.
So he's not really saying it's an issue because you do it during the week, but it's an issue because you do
it. Because it leads to malacha.
Okay, but that's kind of different, I feel like, than what Rashi.
Why?
Like, I mean, Rashi wasn't as, like, he only said, like, one line, but because in the Gemara it sounded like an issue because it's, like, weekday-ish.
Right, so I hear that, but I think Rashi is still going where the Rambam is going with it. That it's, the problem is not, what Ella is asking is a good question. Think this through. Is it that Uvda Dechol is bad because it's a weekday activity, and weekday activities don't belong on Shabbos? Or is it because weekday activities lead to malacha that's done during the week, and therefore you shouldn't do it lest it lead to a malacha? And right now, the Rambam sounds like he's saying the latter. We still have to see more of the Rambam's view, but that is what it sounds like right now. Ariana, you're going to say? No? Okay. So that's where we are at the moment. The Rambam is going to clarify this more in source number 11 in a tshuva. This is a responsum that the Rambam sent. One second. Making one note for myself. Okay. This is from a letter that somebody sent to somebody answering a question. And he says, Aval tliyas hakuz v'hamitz nefes v'chayotze b'hen mutter. He says, hanging up, suspending a kuz, right, the kuza, this receptacle, or a turban, or the like, is allowed. Levisha'in osin b'hen malacha shechayavan ale haskila. You don't use them for a malacha that would lead to capital, that would you know, carry capital punishment as the penalty. So, v'lo amrinan b'chihani shelo yase kederach shu ose b'chol. We don't say here, don't do it the way you do it during the week. In other words, the Rambam's view is that uvda d'chol is a problem. Weekday style activities is a problem if they lead to malacha. Hanging up the turban isn't going to lead to malacha. Because if you were to tell me, I can't do things the way I do them during the week, and at least some of you, I hope, were wondering about this. If you're going to tell me that you can't do things the way you do them during the week, I can't sit at my Shabbos table the way I sit, like I can't sit in the same chair as I do during the week. Is that a problem? I can't, what, read a book because I read a book during the week? Like, what? How far do you go with this? So the Rambam says, in Cain, if this were true, that it would in fact be prohibited to do all these things, if I would say, no, don't do what you do during the week, then lo yochal k'derechshu ochel b'chol. You couldn't eat the way you eat during the week. V'lo yisov k'derechshu meisev b'chol. You wouldn't be allowed to recline the way you do during the week. You have this couch, you like to sit on the couch on Shabbos? Oh, no, because you sit on the couch, you know, Sunday through Friday. You can't sit on that couch. So Rambam says that's nonsense. Zed davar barur hu lemevin. He says this is obvious to anybody with understanding. She'ein ata motzei la'olam dvarim sh'asu chachamim mishum shelo yase k'derech shu'osa b'chol. We do not find the chachamim prohibit things, you know, prohibit doing something the way you do during the week. Ela dvarim she'efsher she'agilu lemalacha. Unless it's something which is something that will accustom you to doing malacha. Force of habit. Got it? If I stop with that, I see your hand, Abby, just one second. If I stop with that, you know, with the Rambam now, would you apply this to exercise?
No. Could shower after.
Maybe. I mean, that's really removed, though. It's two very separate activities. I hear you.
That's like routine.
Is
like
it routine?
You're sweaty, you have it.
That's an interesting question. Okay, I hear the point. My gut would have been to go with the people who said no, but I hear that. Yeah, Julie.
Well, it might lead to sweating, which is not allowed.
But sweating is not an activity. In other words, what we're saying is don't engage in uvda dechol activities because they're going to lead you to perform malacha. If the issue is that sweating causes that exercise causes sweating and sweating is not allowed, which I don't accept, by the way. But if you're going to tell me that sweating is inherently prohibited, then exercise is prohibited because it makes you sweat, not because it might lead you to do something wrong. But so far, we have not seen a prohibition against sweating. We've seen a prohibition against medical activities which lead to sweating where you would otherwise do them with ingredients that you grind up. That's the closest we've come to that. Yeah. Or Shabbaton, as, you know, yeah. How prone are you to needing a doctor after exercising? That's the question. Yeah, right. But that would be the question, right? How likely is it? Is it routine that somebody who exercises then needs to do a malacha, right? Let's say you have somebody who has a home gym and they know they can't exercise for more than 3 minutes without either music or something entertaining, you know, that they're playing, you know, for themselves. And it's all set up. So on their treadmill, they've got, you know, some kind of, I don't know, television screen or whatever it is. And they're concerned, therefore, that if they're going to go, I mean, the treadmill itself is electric, so fine, come up with something else. They're really, it's a natural thing for them to do that. Then maybe you do have such a concern. Then maybe that is an issue. Yeah. We will have to talk about it. Yeah. So so right now, it would sound like, from what we're saying, uvda dechol does not apply to most exercise. Oh, sorry, Abby, I forgot. You had your hand up.
So we talked about a different time not speaking about like mundane things on
yes.
Shabbat. Would that be because it might cause malacha, or that's a separate issue?
So, not speaking about mundane things, meaning Yeshaya's pasuk, mimitzoh chavtzacha v'daber daber, you're not supposed to speak of weekday things, sounded like it was an inherent wrong, as opposed to where it could lead. Even if I know it's not going to lead anywhere, it's still no good. Yeah, I think that was the idea that Ella had of reading Rashi that way, was because of exactly what you're saying. You're right. But it doesn't sound like the Rambam's formulation. So, right now, if I stopped there, I'd say most exercise is not going to be under Uvda Dechol. The Tiferes Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael Lipschitz, wrote a commentary on the Mishnah and includes something called Kakelas HaShabbos, where he, among other things, discusses the 39 Malachos. And in the very beginning, he has a comment about Uvda Dechol. And he says in number 12, Yesh bo gimel ofanim, he says there are three kinds of Uvda Dechol. Dahainu. It means they prohibited something that resembles one of the 39 malachos, even though it's not. Or it might lead a person to perform malacha. So far, so good. So far, we're in the same territory as the Rambam. Or there's extra strain involved in it. if it's a strenuous activity, he says, that is also uvda d'chol. Well, now you have a problem, right? Because that's the whole point of exercise. So it happens to be true that uvda d'chol cases, many of them that I'm familiar with, are not this kind of activity that's strenuous. They're more along the lines of something that brings you to malacha, or that resembles malacha. So Mishnah Berurah mentions it, for example, you know how you make vinegar? Anybody ever make vinegar on purpose? By accident, it's easy. So you have something called a starter. You know how you make bread, yeah. Right? Right, with yeast, right? You add yeast to dough, and then you let the dough rise, right? Fermentation takes place. People took some form of chemistry at some point in their lives. So what you're doing, effectively, is you're creating this colony out of the yeast that you add to the dough. In the event that you don't bake it, but instead you leave the yeast and the dough, and you let it mature, what will happen? Sorry? No. I mean, sort of, in a sense. The dough is going to become sourdough, right? It'll eventually reach the point of being inedible because it goes so far in the fermentation process. So the equivalent of that, oversimplifying, but the equivalent of that in liquid is vinegar. So if you wanted to create vinegar, what you would do is use a little bit of vinegar as a starter. You add it to liquid that also can undergo this chemical process, and then it will be converted into vinegar as well. So Mishnah Berurah says, don't do that on Shabbos, and he classifies that as uvda d'chol. There are other cases that come up with uvda d'chol. Let's not get too far afield. The point for us is saying that uvda d'chol prohibits strenuous activities could be a problem for exercise. I read an article where somebody wanted to argue that uvda d'chol is essentially a derabbanan version of Ramban. Right? Ramban says you have to preserve the Shabbos atmosphere because of biblical things, and then we have rabbinic implementations of that. This is a straight derabbanan uvda d'chol. So now I have three reasons why I might be concerned about exercise. I have the medicinal one, although we said that's really not such a thing. We said Shabbaton could be an issue, and uvda d'chol could be an issue. Last of the items. The last item is a separate thing, which some of you leaned towards when I asked you what could be wrong with exercising, and that is found in the Aruch HaShulchan in source number 13, so we did get to it. He quotes the Tosefta that we already saw. He has it in chapter 17 of the Tosefta in Shabbos. We had it in chapter 16. That's okay. V'isa b'tosefta Shabbos. Ein ratzin b'Shabbos k'day lehit amel. You're not allowed to run on Shabbos to strain yourself. And again, lehit amel is a word we're going to come back to a little bit. Avo mitayel k'darko afilu kol hayom kulo. You're allowed to stroll all day long. V'hachi perusho. This is what it means. Some people medically get better from whatever is ailing them by exercising, straining, and sweating. And the Aruch HaShulchan says there are two reasons why this would be problematic on Shabbos. He does not mention uvda d'chol. He does not mention Shabbaton. He says ha'achas mishum refuah. One issue here is it's medicinal. Vashenis, and the second is mipnei shebeis maaseh, because when you're actually running, kasha olav haritza, the running is hard for him. Umitzda'er, and he's in pain. Ela she'osim mipnei harefuah, he's only doing it because it will ultimately improve his health. But it's a painful thing to do, and the Aruch HaShulchan seems to think that you're not allowed to pain yourself on Shabbos. Yes?
So, like, walking off the plan,
so I wouldn't necessarily say that. We need to get to the practical, which we're not at yet. Right now, we're still preparatory. It's a good question. Just hold the question for Wednesday. Okay? Okay. So, right now, what the Aruch HaShulchan is telling me is I'm not allowed to engage in painful activities, and that would potentially be a problem with exercise. Oh, we understand that?
Is it like, you mean a lot, the fact that he doesn't mention it as a whole?
So it's an interesting question. I'm not sure why he doesn't mention it. I was actually thinking, I wanted to look that up. I didn't notice that until now. So I want to look elsewhere in the Aruch HaShulchan and see whether that's consistent. He does bring the Shabbaton concept. That I remember reading in the Aruch HaShulchan. I don't remember seeing his discussion of the Chol, and that's what I want to see. I'm not sure why he would omit that. Yeah. But he said not to strain. Even taking that line from the Tiferes Yisrael, he didn't say strain. You know, it's odd. I'm not sure. But I just wanted to make sure you see source number 14, because people are not aware of this. The idea of not causing yourself pain on Shabbos is not only about physical pain. Source number 14, Mishnah Berurah. Aser l'saper b'Shabbos ezeh davar shemitzta'er bo. You're not allowed to talk on Shabbos about things that cause you pain. Now, if it's therapeutic, that may be a different story. You know, the case where you talk about it but you feel better afterwards, that may be a different situation. But he's talking about for somebody to do things that just, you know, bring up painful things. So I've seen this quoted in two areas. One of them people will think is funny. But one of them is quoted for his reading obituaries on Shabbos, because reading about people who died is painful. The other thing that one should not read, according to one tshuva that I saw, is that one should not read Jewish community newspapers on Shabbos, because inevitably those things cause you pain. I'm not stating that as any sort of halachic ruling for you, but yes, one is not supposed to engage in things that cause them pain on Shabbos. Shabbos is supposed to be a day of oneg. It's supposed to be a day of enjoyment. It's not supposed to be a day when you engage in things that are painful. And so on that basis, exercise which causes a person pain would potentially be problematic. Which, again, is going to take us back to what about that line in the Aruch HaShulchan earlier about people who enjoy it. So we haven't gotten to practicalities yet. Right now, what we've established is that there are four grounds for concern when it comes to exercise. So what I want to do on Wednesday is say, okay, so what do we do about this? Whether it's for health purposes, whether it's not for health purposes, what about physical therapy? Before we then start talking quiz and trying to figure out how we apply this ourselves. Okay? Yes?
Is it a medical act?
Right.
Is it an atmosphere?
Yeah. Correct. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you.